Well, thank you for sharing with us. It was an interesting thing to talk about interviews, because there was one young man who was deciding what he should study in a university. And so he told his father, and he said, "You know, I want to be a heart surgeon." And the father scolded him. And he asked him, "Why you scold me? Isn't it good to be a heart surgeon?" He says, "You silly boy. The human person has only one heart. If he dies, finish, no more. You should be a dentist. So many teeth to look after." I hope you have a student who says that to you one day. My father said, "Many teeth." I wonder what that means. But you know, we began this year talking about what it means to seek the Lord. Right? And the Lord said in Psalm 27, 8, "Seek my face." And then David said, "I will seek your face, O Lord." Now, that was when we began. Now, this will come to the end of the month that we ask ourselves, okay, what happens when a person seeks the Lord? Now, theologically, Psalm 89 is related. But it's not related insofar as author is concerned. Because this one was written by a man called Ethan, the Ezrahite. Now, what I'm going to try and do this morning is to follow through the idea of, if a person were to seek the Lord, what would he find? What would the Lord do to the person who seeks him? And Psalm 89 gives a very illuminating idea as to what could happen when a person truly seeks the Lord. And so this morning, I want to take up with you Psalm 89, a number of things which we could take a look at. Now, the challenge, of course, is to understand Psalm 89 itself. It's not so easy, because this is a very complex psalm. In part, it is a messianic psalm. So I have noted that in notes which will be fleshed out later on. But I will not be focusing on the messianic part. In part, it is an interactive psalm, because the psalmist is responding to the Lord along the way. So I will not be focusing on that either. But what I will be focusing on is the theme of, if we seek the Lord, what would we find? What would the Lord's part be if we seek His face? Now, a number of you have written to say that you want to seek the Lord. And so I thought it would be good if we were to seriously consider what would happen if we were to seek the Lord diligently on our part. What would we find? Okay, and so we're going to take a look at a number of things that we see interactive. For example, the psalmist says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations." The theme of mercy and faithfulness becomes very, very strong throughout this particular psalm. Now, take a look. Verse 2, mercy, faithfulness. Can you see this? And throughout, you will see verse 5, faithfulness. And you're talking about this whole idea of the Lord's faithfulness. Verse 8, faithfulness. Can you see this? And so verse 14, mercy. And so the theme of faithfulness and mercy will be found throughout the Psalm 89. Now, let's take a look very carefully at what the Lord meant when he said all these things. How do we understand this thing? Verse 24, faithfulness, mercy. Again, my faithfulness and mercy, I shall be with him. And so on and so forth. Well, one of the important things we need to note is, should we come to the Lord and seek him, two things will stand out. One, you will find the Lord faithful. Two, you will find the Lord merciful at all times. Now, this is your foundational idea. Verse 2, I have said, mercy shall be built forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. So this becomes foundational ideas. Right? Now, but this still doesn't tell us how the Lord will respond when we seek him. So I'm going to single out a number of things that we need to take note of. And this is important for us to consider. Psalm 89 is a reflection of Ethan about God's relationship with David, a covenant relationship with David. And in this relationship, a few things stand out between God's relationship and David. And I would like very much to single out some of these things for you to consider. Okay? Verse 19, you spoke in a vision to your Holy One. I've given help to one who is mighty. Okay, I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David. And this is what we want to focus on this morning. I have found my servant David. With my holy oil, I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. My arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And in my name his horn shall be exalted. Okay? Verse 27, I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My mercy I will keep for him forever. My covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed also I will make to endure forever, his throne as the days of heaven. Okay, verse 34, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. I have sworn in my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever. It shall be established forever. Now, what does this all mean? Okay, this is important for us to begin with. Number one, when a person chooses to follow the Lord, and he says, I will seek his face, this person, in return, God says, this is my chosen one. And we see this in verse 19. That's where it begins. So the concept of being chosen is very much a Pauline teaching in the New Testament. And sometimes we miss this. When a person chooses the Lord, he will find that God has chosen him too. It has to be both. Right? I mean, this is important. You know, when you go to school, you know, you get chosen to be part of a team. It's always nice to be chosen to be part of a stronger team. You can choose. But if you're chosen to be a part of the weak team, you say no. That's normal. It has to be both. See, the part of it all, for us to choose God, actually is no big deal. It's logical. It's sane. For God to choose us, that's a different picture. Because that is the significance of it all. The Lord will choose us. And this is important. He says, I have chosen him. Now here comes a series of things that the Lord will do for the person who seeks His face. The Lord will single out. To be chosen means to be singled out. And you will see this in everyone who wants to serve the Lord. You will see this pattern. For every good servant of the Lord, this is his hope. This is an encouragement. This is the lift to the heart. And it is wonderful to be able to see this reality. Okay? I have found my servant David. Verse 20, with my holy oil I have anointed him. Now watch this person. The Lord will choose him as the focus of his attention. The next thing God will do is God will anoint him, set him aside, set him apart. And this person becomes a special servant of God. Now that is to me an amazing thing. It is an uplifting thought. So when we say, I will seek the Lord, what is the response of the Lord? The Lord says, I have chosen him. I have anointed him with my holy oil. Now that's a wonderful thing to do. And then we go on further. With whom my hand shall be established, my arm shall strengthen him. Now I think this is wonderful. So there's a promise of the Lord that God will give to him that strength that he needs in life. And this is a wonderful thought of it all, isn't it? That there will be that strength. You know, in the Lord's work, without that strength, you cannot cope. It can become so overwhelming, and life can become so overwhelming. As we face illness, as we face age, as we face challenges and problems. And there is that wonderful promise. If I seek him, what will I find? The Lord's anointing. What will I find? The Lord's choosing. What will I find? The Lord's strength. And this is our hope. This is our belief that it will not seek the Lord in vain. My arm shall strengthen him. I think to me that is an absolutely wonderful thing. And of course, there will always be problems. There will always be enemies. David does not mean that once he is anointed, he is chosen, he is a servant of the Lord, there will be no problems. The problems will never go away. Let's face it. They will never go away. The question is, how do we face the problem of enemies? There is the Lord's word. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. His foes will be beaten down, and those who hate, they will be plagued. But that's the Lord's promise of protection. What it really means is just simply, God will protect. And I think that this is something that we really, really, really need to rejoice in as we understand this word of the Lord. So when we choose to seek the Lord and we say, this is the Lord, this is this face that I want to seek, what will we find? Many things. He will choose us. He will anoint us. He will also protect us. And I think this is something that we really, really want to thank God for. Again here, underneath all these things are two promises, my faithfulness, my mercy. In other words, David may fail along the way. Maybe he will be afraid of his enemies. Maybe the times he'll be running away. But the Lord's faithfulness, the Lord's mercy will continue to be his. Simply because he said, your face, Lord, I will seek. So this brings a tremendous uplift to the heart. Okay, now we go on further. To what? I will set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. And you will find that this became very real in the life of David. God was not just simply his rock of salvation. God became father to him. God became real to him. God became personal to him. And this began to be displayed very clearly in his Psalms, in the way he wrote, in the way he ruled. So when we talk about seeking the Lord's face, one of the challenges is that we will then begin to find God so much more real and personal. You see, there are times when God would become not very personal because we just don't know him very well. Okay? And this is the notes that I want to just deviate from a little bit to talk about being personal to some of you. You understand that it's been challenging. The church grows bigger, and it's difficult. So sometimes along the way, in town, I bump into you. One day, we took the pastoral team. It was too noisy, too dusty. So we went to Starbucks to have some coffee, and we had a Bible discussion with Starbucks at Starbucks. This is new stuff. And along someone came to me and introduced herself and said, "Oh, Pastor, I have been in church for so long." And you know, it is very possible that I don't know and I can't see the people on the outside. You can see me, which is not much, but I can see you not. I really miss seeing you personally. And one of the things I would like very, very much, if you have not spoken to me for the last 6 months or longer, come by and say hello. Otherwise, one of these days, it's very possible with age, I would ask you, "What is your name?" And you think it won't happen. It might well happen. You know, this we call senior moment. And I'm senior. And it's going to happen. But you see, this is the whole idea. So I've asked the pastoral team, please get to know people. There comes a point of time now in this day and age where it's possible that you don't know half the people over in Bethany. Because it's going to grow bigger. And it's going to get worse. Anytime we lose touch, we're going to lose that personal touch too. This is what God wants us to understand. When we seek him, we will not just find God as God. We will discover him as Father. A deeper, more personal relationship than we could ever imagine. So when the Lord says, seek his face, it is not just an external idea. I think this is important. You know, when I was sharing with the pastoral class how Paul wrote about this, that sometimes we seek God externally. We don't know God, we search for him externally. We find God. But there's another special way in which God relates to us personally. You know where you can find God? Right here. That's what Paul was writing. For, he said, the Lord is working in you, both to will and to do. This is what we want to discover. God working in us. This is God working in us. Philippians 2:13. And it is wonderful to realize this. So when we seek God's face, what will we find? You will find him saying to you, "You are going to be my chosen. You are going to be my servant. I'm going to anoint you with holy oil. I'm going to set you apart. I will give you my strength. I will protect you from enemies. No enemies will ever prevail. I will plague those who hates you." What a wonderful sense of protection this is. But you know, above everything else, that is that personal word that says, you know, my faithfulness, my mercy shall be with him, and he will be able to say, "You are my Father." But more than that, the Lord went on to say, I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My firstborn. A special privilege position. And this is what the Lord gives to those who seek him. You will be my firstborn, the Lord said, verse 27. And you know what else? The blessing continues to the next generation. What we do, how we live, will affect the next generation. Bill and Gloria Gaither used to tell this story. These are the Gaither family. And one day he was looking for a home and he didn't have very much money when he was starting out. And so he went to the bank and the bank president, he said, you know, I'd like to take a loan. Can I buy this piece of land? I want to make my home here. The Gaither family, is a, you know, they've written hymns, they sing in churches, and it's a pretty famous family in the U.S. And, you know, he didn't qualify. So then the bank president asked him to sign the forms anyway. The bank president said, Gaither, is this your name? It's yes. Then he mentioned a name, Gaither. Is this person related to you? And he said, yes. That's my grandfather. He says, your grandfather? You know, your grandfather used to work for me. And he's an outstanding worker. I will process your form personally. Not only did he approve of the loan, the bank actually owned that property. And he said, I own it. And I want to give you, I'm going to tell you something. This is the price I'm giving it to you. And he was shocked. He gave him a huge discount. And he says, why? He says, your grandfather served the bank and served my family for so long, for so and so well. His seed will benefit. So when we seek the Lord, that blessing is not only to us personally. It will come down. The Lord's promise is your seed I will make to endure forever. To me, that is an even greater reason for us to seek God's face. Maybe there are problems, maybe there are challenges. What should we do? And our challenge is, let us seek the Lord's face nevertheless. The blessings will be there and they will come. And what we do will benefit the generations that will come after us. This is what the Lord would do for the person who truly, diligently seek him. And he went on further to say, in my name his horn shall be exalted. How serious is this word from the Lord? Very serious, because he said, my covenant I will not break. Verse 35, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David, his seed shall forever endure. Of course, this is the messianic element. And so the blessing would be extended to the messianic element, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, but even if we don't focus on the messianic element, what a thought this is, that when we seek the Lord's face, when the Lord says, seek my face, and our hearts respond and we say, your face, Lord, I will seek. On a personal level, this is what God promised. Progeny, beyond his generation, the generations to come, the Lord said, I will bless as well. And I want to challenge us all to really, really respond the way David responded. And he said, who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that you have brought me thus far? In 2 Samuel 7, David responded with just one major word. Servant. Your servant, David. He would repeat himself again and again and again as he stands in awe of what God has promised. Look at what God has promised. Look at how personal these promises are. Look at how these promises will go down to the progeny, to the next generation, and forever. And so our challenge must be to seek the Lord diligently. And I think this is what we want to do. Seek the Lord diligently. At a family camp coming up, we're going to ask you, urge you, the principle of interactive prayer is the principle that all prophets know how to apply. When they prayed to God, it was not just saying some said prayers. Every prayer that we make has this principle called the interactive principle. Where as they prayed, God would respond, and as God responds, so they pray. This principle of interactive prayer is almost lost on us today. And I want to study this with you, to show you, to teach you, to guide you of how you can develop this understanding of interactive praying. And I really, really want to encourage you to see this. But you know, as we seek the Lord, year after year, here comes Easter next. And another season where we remember the Lord's sacrifice, death, resurrection for us. You know, our hearts must be stirred. Lord, your face I will seek. And see how these promises of God will be fulfilled in your life. Look at how personally they can become. Look at beyond yourself to your seed and beyond. Let the blessings of the Lord come to you. And your part is simply responding as David did. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Can you consider this? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to look at these promises given to us in Psalm 89. And Father, we pray that our hearts would be stirred to seek your face and to see these promises of yours fulfilled. More than just a blessings promise, we desire that you would be Father to us in the closest, dearest way possible. And we ask that this blessings promise would be fulfilled even as we seek your face. We would ask you to bless this offering that we now give. In Jesus' name, amen.